Go ahead and start us up, man.
It's Monday.
All right, we're starting now. Hey, it's Monday. I'm Dollar Ben. V, kick us off.
Hi, I'm V, lurker and listener. And you're listening to Dollar Ben, by the way. And I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Neither do we.
Yay.
So we are gathered here at Trey's house with our guest V, who has been steady commenting on our comment section and on our forum, for those of you who go to the forum, which is good old time.
Damn, now you got people walking off the street to take shots at you, man.
It's what you get for calling her dirty.
I was just calling him like I saw him.
Damn. I think we're going to have to just clear the table away and give them both weapons.
And V, once again,
I'm just kidding. She gave me Twizzlers. She's my favorite person in this room by far. And she's prettier than all of you.
Do not make me bust out the Asian on you.
Oh, shit.
All I'm saying, Devin, is you don't know where those Twizzlers have been.
I'm not even. No.
So
I'm going to watch that pitch go right back.
Are we throwing any news out there? Are we moving on to reviews?
Moving straight to reviews, baby.
All right, so does V get to go first?
Yep.
V,
no,
you're
I
first.
Don't get to go.
Actually, right,
yes,
I
you
think,
do.
All right, Trey, go first.
Me go first?
Yeah, Trey, you're first.
Captain America, awesome as always.
Number 41?
Der, yes, sir.
Der, okay. The one that says to be concluded at the end?
Cover before.
That's the one.
To be concluded. Does that mean they're actually going to try to wrap up that storyline next issue?
I think so.
That's how I interpret the use of the word concluded.
I'm just glad he busted out with finally making the public appearance of, yes, I'm Captain fucking America.
Yep.
Bitches.
Other thing I wanted to make quick mention of is Secret Invasion, which seems to be losing a little bit of steam. I was not nearly as excited by this issue as I was by the first four.
Not a lot going on in
well,
there.
Well, you know, most of the meat of that storyline's happening in Mighty and New Avengers anyway.
Yeah. That's right.
Is that meat. The one that did have that awesome like Maria Hill scene, though?
Yes, where she's using the life model
that's
decoy.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah, that was a badass scene, but it's kind of negated by the last panel where we're supposed to be like shocked and amazed at the full page spread of Hawkeye going, I'm going to kill them all.
Yeah. Wow, the guy with a bow and arrow is going to kill all the Skrulls.
Well, the guy, I thought he should have a bow and arrow.
I thought he was Ronin.
That's right. The guy who's a ninja who used to be an archer.
He at least threw in every
fucking last one.
Who in the future will use a sword.
Right.
In the Wolverine stuff, he's the like the supporting main character. He's got a sword.
I also was kind of disappointed by the way Reed Richards is like out of stasis for 5 minutes and finds a way to discover Skrulls. Nobody else could.
I've already solved the problem. All right, great, Reed. We can all go
home
now.
But wasn't he working on that when he got blasted by Pym?
All I know is he...
They're doing the autopsy. I don't know that he got any further than that.
But I think something happened and Pym was like, ba-doo! And then took him upstairs.
He was, huh?
That was a great two-finger side
that was
gap.
A lovely sound effect. Yeah. Is that how you shoot your phaser?
Yeah. Gangsta style, bitch.
How intimidating, Adam.
Yeah.
All right, next review, Devin. I'm tagging you in.
Dang. Superman, Batman, number 51. Way better than I expected. Little leaguers. Except for I think that little people, as we like to call them, might get very fucking offended. Because, I mean, especially if you look at the way these people are drawn, I mean, they're not just short, but, like, everything's all, like, squatted up, like, giant calves and giant forearms, but, like, on little people.
How offended can they get, man, if they just keep making my cookies and mending my shoes? That's all I need out of those guys.
Keep quiet, peck. Okay.
Wow, he pulled out some willow on y'all asses.
Brave and Bold, Superman, Catwoman. Fun stuff.
I picked that up because I liked the cover, and it was okay.
It was all right.
It was fun. I had stopped picking up Brave and the Bold, and I just went ahead and
unfortunately,
grabbed
it. That's Mark Waid's last issue on B&B.
Well,
as he said in our Dollar Bin interview at Heroes
Crown.
Hold on.
Dynamite
Amazing Spider-Man.
We said two reviews.
Three. Amazing Spider-Man. John Romita Jr. is back, and it's pretty cool. And then Mark Waid and Adi Granov have a backstory in the back, and it's also pretty cool. Starting
cover.
To pick back up. We'll
the cover
it.
Looks nice. I'm still not buying
and
this
a
shit,
sweet
though.
Alex Ross Green Goblin cover.
Fuck Alex Ross.
Brian, you're in.
Get
the tables.
We talked about Birds of Prey.
Yeah, I was hoping you picked that up.
Did you get it?
No. I was hoping you picked it up.
We talked about it because it was supposed to have the Joker versus Oracle kind of confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's got Joker on the cover. Buying it because it's about that.
Mm-hmm.
This book was made for Adam. because 75% of it is about their teenage sidekick going back to high school.
Oh, shit.
I noticed that. I did flip through it. Shit.
So in response, I'd like to say fuck you, whoever wrote and drew that.
Tony Bedard wrote that.
I also got, I'm sure a lot of people probably read this the first time it came out, but they re-solicited Punisher Kills the Marvel Universe.
Oh, that comics is so bad.
Dude, when
this really sucks. This is really horrible.
The book was awesome.
No, I read it the
if
first
awesome
time around.
Means it was shit. Yes. No,
the art is
terrible.
It was bad, but I still enjoyed it.
I mean, the story was stupid. It's like watching something on fast forward.
Damn right.
And unpausing it every once in a while.
Absolutely.
To get the bits of the story.
It never takes more than like a page to kill off the worst of the worst in the Marvel Universe. Yeah. Yeah. I believe he takes out Dr. Doom by beating him to death with a sledgehammer.
Yeah, which would totally happen.
Yeah, I can see that.
And he tricks...
Doom's technology cannot overcome a sledgehammer.
He destroys all of the mutants, both good and bad, by tricking them to go to one spot together and nuking all of them.
Right.
Wow. God, why did they reprint this shit? Why did I spend $5 on it?
That's on you, sir.
Joe Quesada, kiss my ass.
It was bad.
For that matter, Garth Ennis. Yeah, suck on it too. V,
you're in.
All right, Final Crisis: Legion of Three Worlds. It's the only piece of Final Crisis I've picked up ever, and it'll probably be the only bit of it I ever get around to reading. And
so why did you pick up that one then?
Because the cover looked cool and it was all hyped and all that.
I like Boys with Lightning.
I do like Boys with Lightning. I'll have you know that.
Yeah, watch out for the ones that shoot flames
or flaming.
Can't hold jokes back.
I was setting that one up, baby.
I found the satire in this one.
If you like the Boys at Flames, I'll direct you to Adam's Halloween pictures.
Oh, no.
Have you seen Adam as Supergirl yet?
Oh, he's flaming.
The horror.
That is sexy.
The horror. The horror.
The ladies love it.
I actually kind of giggled when I actually understood the reference as to what happened between Superboy Prime and Sodom Yat in the Sinestro Corps War. I'm like, I haven't been reading comics that long, but I knew what happened there.
I bought this comic for the pretty cover and I got the continuity.
You found continuity in something that people have been looking for it.
And
since
I think I'm a week behind on this one.
That's Perez. I don't look like Perez.
You read Captain Britain?
I do read Captain Britain.
Captain Britain,
Terrence reads that too.
Used to be a very, very good comic, and then they stopped putting it out. So they're putting it out again. I didn't even know that. And
I heard
it's good.
Pretty decent recently. Yeah.
And it's kind of cheesy that at the end, it's what's-his-face wishes away all of the Skrulls. And why is it only in Britain, though? And oh, spoiler.
Well, no, I don't care.
is Captain Britain the Brian Braddock Captain Britain?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I think he disappears and he comes back. I can't remember if he died or not.
And is he wearing the red costume with the lion on his chest, or is he wearing the red, white, and blue sort of
it's a red,
Union
white, and
Jackie
blue
looking thing?
British flag.
Got it.
Style type costume. He's very cheesy. Have fun.
That's one of the joys of that character.
And, Pete Wisdom, always a kick, because he's so just chill and whatever. Captain America's fun. Not much else to say on that, because Trey already talked about it.
Sort of.
And I finally picked up Astonishing X-Men Volume 1, the first trade paperback. Had a lot of fun with that one too, but we'll talk about that more later.
The journey you are going on to. Are you going to be in love with Kitty Pryde as much as we
Devin,
are?
Why are you dimming the lights at Richard Trey with massage oils?
Just me.
It makes me think about
still
Kitty Pryde.
Inappropriate.
I can't say anything for fear of setting myself up to be made
more fun of. Oh, that's going to happen.
Well, then, wow. Good luck.
And plus, I have an imaged upkeep.
What? Have you listened to this show before? In fact, what if you've got an imaged up? What'd you get in a car with Adam for?
That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point. Can we stop having douchebags like All American Rejects in my comic books from those guys?
I don't know
who they were. It was just like, oh, who are those poor boys who need a bath? Need to buy milk.
That's a lot of douchebagging.
I do got to say that I think, is it the Under the Influence, that big orange ad that's in the middle of all the comics?
With
this
Maze?
Week? Yeah. That or whatever that one is. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what the ad is. But I like that ad because every time I get to the ad, I'm like, dude, I'm only halfway through this book. I got a whole nother half to read. It's like kind of exciting for me.
Do you say it with a ghetto accent and all in the whole?
Well, at least you're an optimist now.
I wasn't really ghetto. That was kind of like you was one of the cheerleaders from Bring It On.
Girlfriend.
Adam, you're tagged in.
This is our 100th show.
Well, depending on how you do the math.
I'm calling it 100.
Sweet.
I finished reading the Wormwood Gentleman Corpse by Ben Temple Smith.
How is it? Does Temple Smith still rock?
Temple Smith rocks it.
You've got quite a little relationship going with Ben Temple Smith now, don't you?
Now. Yeah.
I see your other man crush. Should Rob Ullman be on the lookout?
Well, no, I think Rob Ullman still owns that one.
Does he wear jeans without pockets? Because it might not work out.
Dude, how many guys are you trying to fuck?
How much time you got? List is long and distinguished. But,
this Wormwood character, awesome character. He's basically a worm that lives in corpses and like animates them.
Likes wood. Okay.
By living in them. And apparently he's been around for thousands and thousands and maybe millions of years.
Okay.
Nice. And he's kind of in charge of making sure that shit doesn't happen on whatever dimension he's in. Like with like people trying to break through the dimension and trying to like kill, like basically this last one, this Calamari Rising, it's a whole bunch of people that break through another dimension, and they're complete. All they do is they harvest. They break into dimensions and then they harvest everything to make people one of us, one of us.
Okay.
And it's badass, man. It's really gross.
Resistance.
There's lots of tentacles. Not necessarily tentacle porn, but lots of tentacles.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Sounds like some people
you can have
based
tentacles
out of
without tentacle
Florida.
Porn.
And it's got you know, Ben Temple Smith badass artwork and things like that. It's just a really good line. He's drunk. He drinks a lot. Alcohol, cursing, tentacles, violence, chicks with guns.
And no
How
porn.
Can you go wrong?
Dogs and cats living together.
So that's badass. I totally recommend starting to pick those up to anybody. The other thing I would like to talk about is X Factor.
The regular issue or the Layla Miller
special? The regular issue sucked, but that's not what I want to talk about. That's not a review. The art sucks in that, by the way.
Yeah,
no, I would like to talk
and
about
it. It's got She-Hulk in it.
Yeah, I would like to talk, and it didn't make any sense. I would like to talk about the Layla Miller, which was awesome.
Wow.
Did you read that one?
Yes,
the art in there is really cool. It takes place basically a few issues back. Layla and Madrox went over to another like future kind of dimension kind of thing, and she got abandoned there. And, you know, that was like the end of the story, and then weeks had gone by, issues had gone by, and now they're kind of going back to that future story. It takes place in Bishop's future.
They're going back to the future?
In a DeLorean and everything.
Go back in time.
but yeah, it's the art's really good in it, and it takes place, and I was afraid, I thought this was going to be a one-shot, even though, but it looks like it's going to be a little mini-series.
I thought it was just a one-shot.
I don't think so, because it doesn't actually say one-shot on the book, and it read like it has more coming in the end, afterward. I'm hoping it does, because it's
just
actually
what,
cool.
Just what you need, another book featuring a teenage girl you'll be buying.
Damn right. Tony Moore's new, or Terry Moore's new, not Tony Moore, that'd be a totally different book. Terry Moore's new Runaways is starting up next week, too, I think.
You haven't read any of Runaways, have you?
Yeah.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Was that the one written by Joss Whedon?
Oh, yes. I read Runaways written by Joss Whedon.
Nice.
Speaking of Joss Whedon.
Who is this Whedon character you talk about?
So, yes, we're going to discuss... The man known as Joss Whedon.
He's supposed to prove that you can fall flat, too.
I just want to try to continue this topic and say that we all do know it's Joss Whedon.
Joss Whedon, man. Listen, ain't too bad. You got that
so,
buffet.
I figure to kick off, so everybody knows our expertise that we're bringing to the table here on Joss Whedon, that we should all kind of real quick say what you know about Joss Whedon. Just like with me.
Well, he's a Capricorn.
With me, it's like, you know, I've seen Serenity. Mm-hmm. I've read Astonishing. I've read the Runaways stuff. But outside of that, I'm not really Dr. Horrible. I've seen that stuff.
Dr. Horrible.
But outside of that, I don't really know much about Joss Whedon other than he did Buffy and stuff. That's it for me.
I'm kind of in the same boat. I picked up the first trade of Astonishing X-Men. Dr. Horrible. Since Wednesday, I have watched Firefly, Serenity, read this first trade.
Sweet Lord.
And apparently, I'm not going to learn anything till the middle of the semester now, because I've made no room.
As it should be.
Not that I learned anything from class anyway. I went out of my way to absorb as much as I could before today.
I think what we're going to be lacking is none of us are really Buffy fans.
Yeah, I watched Buffy when I was like 13.
I thought you didn't watch Buffy.
Well, I watched the first two seasons of it.
It ran for like 257.
It ran for seven. Which I caught up on Wikipedia before I read the eighth season.
After I watched Firefly, I got very Joss, like very snobby. Like I was talking to someone online about Joss Whedon. He spelled it Josh, and I very quickly corrected him.
Joss Whedon. I'm like,
it's Joss, damn it.
Two S's. Well, there is no H. There is no H. Not until you get to the WH.
So Brian. Yeah, he did Buffy.
So, Brian, what do you know?
I mean, you've seen Serenity 1,000 times.
Yeah, I love me
and,
some Serenity.
And Serenity watched Firefly awesome. How many times?
I watched that a lot. I really like that TV show.
I'll mention again, Brian did give me Firefly for my birthday, which I'm very appreciative of.
Space Western, man. How do you go wrong with that?
Hey, really?
It's awesome. And
really good quality for the amount of money spent both on the TV show. The production quality is really good. And for that movie, that is not an expensive movie, and it looks like it was.
It looked good.
It had Nathan Fillion in it.
And then you know I cannot say
Steve
enough
the pirate.
Right now about Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog, which is like one of the biggest things going on the internet right now. And in addition to being just riotously funny, is making a real bid to change the way we receive our entertainment. Uh-huh. He's gone outside of the studio system. It's like, screw you guys. We're going to do this ourselves.
He basically did that during the writer's strike, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
The interesting thing will be is how much money it can actually generate.
Yeah, I mean, I bought all three episodes off iTunes.
See, the thing about that is, I mean, that's great. I didn't steal it like some people. But the thing that they
what? I have stolen nothing.
But the way that they did it is kind of skewed because they let you watch it for free on their site. They really should have made you go download it. I mean, in order to change the way the business is done, they need to do that because they're not making really anything off of you just watching it on the site.
What they are doing is they are releasing a soundtrack, they're releasing a DVD version with lots of extras and stuff like that. They're going to get their money.
Are they releasing a DVD version?
Yeah.
Awesomeness.
There's a contest in place, by the way, that I know I will be entering with other friends that I have.
So you're going to tell other people about this so you have more competition?
Yeah, well, I mean, they can't beat our idea. Our idea is fucking tops, man. But yeah, they're actually having a creative villain for Dr. Horrible contest right now. And the winner, well, there'll be 10 winners who will go on the DVD. And it looks like the big winner, the grand prize winner, will actually have their character inserted into the next iteration of Dr. Horrible episodes. So, fun stuff.
So they are planning on that series continuing?
The last thing that anybody heard them say about it was at San Diego. And at San Diego, he said, we've got to get out the soundtrack and the DVD, and we've got to get our people paid. But, yes, we have ideas. You know, and he kind of...
Well, that's the interesting thing about his little... He's like Kevin Smith with more talent.
Yes.
In that he's fostering, and that's not really a dig at Kevin Smith, all right, it is. He fosters kind of a group of people that can go off and do other things, but will also come back and do things for him.
Right.
And he's a pretty multi-talented guy. I mean, Dr. Horrible's not even their first attempt at musical.
They did on Buffy.
Because they did musical episodes of Buffy and Angel.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually written the theme songs for a lot of the shows. He and his brother, I guess, are the musical people in the family.
Right, well,
too. Among other things.
Yeah, I put that guy, I put Joss Whedon in this holy trinity of like of three. It's him, it's a guy named Brad Bird, who is responsible for The Incredibles, and a guy, I believe the guy's name is Bob Burden, who is responsible for The Tick and all that stuff. And those
Spoon!
Their approach to superheroics is so good. It always relies on good writing, good characterization, good ideas, and then any of the other stuff that you would expect to see in successful superheroic type entertainment, big explosions and, you know, cool special effects, it's always an after effect.
I'll toss something else in there, is that it's not afraid to both make fun of the genre and have the people be made fun of. In other words, their heroes aren't bulletproof.
The heroes aren't bulletproof, and they aren't afraid to laugh at the genre, but you can tell all of those guys are huge, huge fans. And look, Joss Whedon knows how to put a freaking character together. Whether you're watching Firefly, where his, you know, roguish Han Solo-like ship's captain. Could be kind of an asshole, and as a matter of fact, he's got a second-in-command who is an utter asshole, but heroic still.
Would not talk about Lawrence Fishburne's wife like that if I were you.
Yeah, and that show also has the hottest fucking space whore that ever lived. And it's just that's funny, brilliant. Witty stuff. It's good characterization, and frankly, both Hollywood and the major comic offices could take a few lessons from these guys in how to produce good superhero comics.
Speaking of good superhero comics, Whedon is one of the Hollywood guys that's dipped not just his full, not just a foot in, but jumped in.
Whoa!
Jumped in swimming to the comic book industry.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And he's one of the guys that I don't mind that has done that.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of guys are there kind of for a party break.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't even start off writing stuff. He started off optioning his things for other people to write,
mm-hmm.
and has slowly done more and more and more to the point where you think that, you know, eventually he's going to be a much bigger name than he already is in comics.
I mean, it's funny because you could easily see him going the route of his own publishing company.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I don't know that he'll do that, but I could see them offer him the same sort of, I think I could see Dark Horse offering him the same sort of deal that like Kirkman got offered an Image.
Well, mm-hmm. I mean, but the thing is with a lot of his stuff is on IDW. He does stuff for Marvel. He does stuff for Dark Horse. I mean, he's all over the place. And these are all name things, licenses that are bringing in cash. I mean, a lot of these things are helping carry. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, these
IDW and Dark Horse need his
property. They have a lot of other stuff too, but like Transformers.
You have to speak up, V.
I was surprised at how good Joss Whedon actually was when I first saw his name tagged on, you know, comic book covers. I was like,
oh, good at writing comics.
Yes, good at writing comics. I was like, you know, he's just this guy from Hollywood who's probably, you know, I've seen it before and it's usually not that good.
Oh, you were so fucking dead wrong.
I know. Yeah. And I'm glad for
continues.
It.
I'll tell you.
Joss
Whedon for me.
Mm-hmm.
My introduction to Joss Whedon is Astonishing X-Men. I didn't even know who the fuck he was before.
Which, you know, in hindsight, is exactly the kind of book he needed to be on. You know, if we learned nothing about Joss Whedon from Buffy and Serenity, it's that he does ensemble casts very well and is able to give a depth of characterization to whoever it is he's writing in very quick strokes. Very quick strokes.
He definitely doesn't skip.
He's good at character interaction.
Very good at character interaction. And these characters, they feel like real people. Mm-hmm. They aren't these one-dimensional things. You know, every person on planet Earth has it in them to be an asshole, a tragic figure, a really sweet guy, you know, and a jerk. And Whedon's characters can do all of those things.
As you sit there and sell yourself on why you should read Astonishing X-Men.
We'd like to remind you that you won't read it, even though we try to give it to you.
I'm sure.
See, this is exactly my fucking point, man. That's why it's good.
The cause is bigger than I am, dude.
I'm sure V would let you borrow her Astonishing X-Men.
You will kneel before Whedon.
I kneel at Whedon's altar. All right.
Did anybody read his first comic book attempt, Frey?
No.
That's one of the ones that he owns.
But she's back, though.
Huh?
What?
Frey. She's on Buffy.
She's a female character, is what you're telling us.
She's in Buffy?
Yep.
So he introduced one of his creator owned characters from another verse, basically, and plopped him into Buffyville.
Yep.
Huh.
In the last couple issues. And boy, has that girl got some crazy language. I mean, it's just a weird.
Crazy talk. Jibba dab, dibba 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 doo.
Yeah, basically. Anyway, continue, since I'm the only one who read this.
No.
There was nothing. He was asking if anybody read it.
None of us have read Prey. I had no idea who this chick was. And, like, another Whedonite had to tell me who the fuck she was to begin with.
Wait a minute. Not a Whedonite, but a Whedonite.
Whedonite. And they call him Brown Coat.
Was it we?
Huh?
Was it we?
No, it's not we.
Done.
Oh. It was not weed.
All right, so your introduction was Astonishing.
Astonishing.
Your introduction was Buffy. Did you watch it when the first season was hot or a rerun?
Yeah. No, I watched it when it first came out.
When it was hot?
When it was hot in the streets.
It was smoking.
See,
in the beginning,
I tried
though.
To watch Buffy when it came out. Everybody I found myself resenting that show after like three episodes.
I've never seen an entire episode of either the Buffy or the Angel.
I've seen one entire episode of Buffy. And Sarah Michelle Gellar wasn't even in that episode.
That was probably the best one they'd made then.
I saw the Buffy movie in the theater.
Yes.
With like Christy Swanson.
There was a Buffy movie
well,
in
there's
theaters?
The Luke Perry huh? and Christy Swanson.
Luke Perry yeah. and Christy Swanson. Yep. Yep. Yeah. And Paul Reubens.
And Paul Reubens.
And Paul Reubens.
And Rutger Hauer.
Ooh, Rutger Hauer, yeah.
Anybody else?
Who's, most, the, who's the key grip? Fire off the shoulder of Orion.
But most importantly,
who did the
Christy
lighting?
Swanson.
What about you, Trey? What was the first thing you picked up that was Whedon and
Well, I mean, of course, I saw Buffy in the theaters and then a few episodes of the show. Hopped on board with Firefly as soon as that started to happen. Didn't pay a lot of attention to his comic work. And then my absolute favorite thing that the man has done is Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog, which I'm just in love.
I laughed so hard at
with that.
That
thing. It
I showed
is
it to
so
my mom.
Great.
My mom didn't get it.
Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog was good, but it made me kind of sad. The ending.
It's a tragedy. That's what's awesome.
The thing about it is you don't know it's a tragedy until the end.
Until the end.
The whole
spoiler,
time you're
spoiler.
Yeah, spoilers.
Yeah,
but
I
like the whole time
you
think I have it on my iPod. I can hook it up and
yeah, we could just play it instead
it,
of us
exactly.
talking.
You really are hurting yourself by not watching.
I do have
it.
So great.
That Dr. Horrible is what has made me a Joss Whedon fan. I've appreciated the other stuff that he's done, but Dr. Horrible.
Before that, you were mediocre, more or less.
Well, I'll be mediocre tomorrow. But
right, to clarify, mediocre towards Joss Whedon.
Lukewarm. Lukewarm.
You loved Astonishing immediately.
Me? Yes.
Yeah. V, what was the first thing you picked up that was Whedon inspired?
Well, it was Buffy and Angel back in the day. I never actually watched like a full season, mm-hmm. and then skip forward about 9 years.
Why did you stop?
Why,
V?
Because it was Buffy and Angel?
Because it was Buffy and Angel. And David Boreanaz lost his novelty after a while.
There was a new hot boy.
You can only be dark and brooding vampire for so long.
And then, skip ahead about 9 years, and I pick up Serenity. At Brian's recommendation here, and after that, I went on Hulu and watched a stream
Hulu?
Firefly.
Hulu, what? They've got all the Fireflies on Hulu.
Yes,
that I didn't Hulu know that. That you do.
I have another reason to steal intellectual property.
I really like Joss Whedon. I just hate supporting him.
I really like Joss Whedon, but fuck him. What about you? You really like Buffy?
I started off with Buffy. I watched the first two seasons, and I was like, I can't do this anymore.
What was it about? See, okay, here's the weird thing. I was talking to my friend Lisa last night, mm-hmm. and she's like all Buffy'd out, right?
Yeah.
And she was saying that she has heard that anybody who hasn't watched Buffy to start with season 3.
No, wait a minute. Stop. Huh. Slow down. Said she's all Buffy'd out. Does that
right.
mean she's
no,
a
she
big
loves
fan
Buffy.
Of the show? Or
yeah, she's a big fan. No, that's she's a big
or
fan.
Or she
of
lifts
the show.
A lot.
No, yeah. Well, I was going to say she's all buffed out, and I was
she's
like, wait
swole.
A minute. But she's a big fan of the show and okay. anything Joss Whedon, same kind of principle. It's Angel and all that other stuff. But yeah, but she said that the season to start on is season 3.
See, I don't know.
She said
I watched the first. I watched a little bit
enough,
of the third.
I wonder if we don't have a clue to Joss Whedon's structure, because what I've found is that you really have to get people to fucking slog through that first episode of Dr. Horrible. And if you can get through the
it's
first
got
episode,
Stop the World song, man.
I like the Stop the World
as
song.
Soon as, oh god, the first 5 minutes maybe when he's doing the blog thing, you're like, okay,
right,
where
right.
is this
you're
going?
Like,
is
I
this
watching?
Really? Gonna, am I going to watch this for 15 minutes really? But then,
dude, that's NPH, and you had to think
no,
if you were going to
no,
watch
but
that.
It's just,
I will cut you.
It's got nothing to do with that. It's just got to do with like you know the whole thing. But you know that when it kicks in, when he goes to the laundry mat, oh my god, it's so funny, man. That is so funny. That's like my favorite thing of all time, except for not quite.
So yeah, okay,
but nice. No, but I don't know. I think that's what I've heard with Buffy. Skip the first two seasons and start with season 3.
Well, I went to college and then got a life, and then I quit watching Buffy.
Is that why you're
then
watching it
I
now?
Never saw. Yeah.
And now you all of a sudden have top 4 to get.
Because now I'm old and I don't have a life anymore. No, I don't. I'm not watching it anymore.
So lonely.
I didn't watch Serenity or Firefly.
I didn't even know they existed
until I came along.
Until
yeah,
Brian came along.
I just old I haven't gotten around to it yet. I want to. I mean, shit, Firefly. Yeah, exactly. Space
I'll let
Western.
You borrow my
How
Firefly as soon as I finish
cool?
watching it.
Very awesome. They're like space Confederates too.
Nice.
They're like, yeah, he fought the war. He fought for what we thought was right.
It was like if the South lost in Civil War.
But then we went to space, and then we took over.
V's got something to say.
The whole time I was watching Firefly. Yeah. Thanks, Adam.
I told you, you got to speak
on,
up.
Come on, V. Spend your time wisely.
And you're cut.
And we're done.
Very Cowboy Bebop-y. Just to be a like, just to retrogress.
Oh, really?
Anime nerd.
It just got even a little bit cooler.
You know, and I'm like,
what's a cowboy boy?
That would be an anime reference. Brian.
It's an anime show that makes
you cool
very
for you
good
is
jazz
what it is,
music.
But
oh my god, that soundtrack is amazing too.
Yeah,
I love
man.
The soundtrack to that show.
Well, Cal-
but
Bebop,
the ending.
Bebop or Firefly?
Damn Japanese people.
Oh, too.
Bebop has like 10 soundtracks.
What you just said? That?
Just
said
that's
damn
right.
Japanese
I said
people.
It. Damn Japanese people. They can't let anything in. End happily. Ever, never, ever. It either doesn't end or it ends fucking badly.
The opinions of Devin expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of Dollar Bid Productions.
And like throughout the
fucking
whole-
Japanese so fatalistic, why? I don't understand it.
Dude, Pearl Harbor was a long time ago.
Let it go.
I'm just saying, for their own good. Why, like, why do they not?
For their own good.
Why do they not just let shit go? Why not like live to fight another day? You know, make up for something. How about that?
Not die on a set.
Not
of
just. I have fucked up. I must kill myself.
That's how it's supposed to be, Devin.
You've got to endure.
If more people,
because you'd have been dead like 20 times over by now.
Thankfully,
yes.
Thankfully,
more people fell on their swords, this would be a better fucking planet.
Thankfully, Joss Whedon's not Japanese, and he didn't end astonishing with freaking Kitty Pryde going into a bullet and flying away into space, sacrificing her life for everybody else pointlessly.
Yes,
oh,
exactly.
Wait, he did.
He has a tie to them.
Maybe
see?
Joss is Japanese.
Why? Bebop, it all comes back. I love me.
A lot's made about Joss being very feministic.
Feminist,
I guess.
What
I don't,
do you mean?
He
you
loves
say
him
feministic?
Some strong
like,
woman.
He loves yeah. him some heroin.
I don't. Yeah, he loves him some heroin. Yep, yep.
Got them
white
caps, dog, and blue caps, and white caps.
I don't really find it's that. I just think he writes really good characters. I mean, like, I don't like yeah. if you look at the cast of Serenity
even,
or Firefly.
I didn't even mind Cyclops.
That's really balanced.
Exactly. I was going to say that. Like, yeah. for a second, I didn't hate
Cyclops.
Cyclops
is a douche and astonishing.
He and me agree.
He's better to deal with and astonishing than any other X-Men book I've ever read, though.
Oh, my God. He just
my favorite moment for Cyclops is when him and Emma Frost are talking, and he's like, well, Emma's like, Kitty thinks I'm controlling all your thoughts and actions, by the way. You're not, right?
Yeah, you're not. Right.
I like when...
No, but my ass is.
When Emma Frost
he
is like,
say,
I can be anybody.
He's back on Buffy again.
Is he writing the comic now again?
Yes, he's back writing it again.
He got BKV to write some of that too, didn't he?
Yep.
And isn't that who's traded off and on with the Runaways?
And Drew Goddard, also. Another losty.
I don't think he's ever written any of the Spike and Angel stuff. I think that's always been other people, yeah.
He like co-plots a lot of that shit.
What about the show? Is he responsible for the show? For
yeah.
Spike or whatever?
Yeah.
Or Angel? Which one's the show? Angel?
Angel.
Okay. I don't even know who's
Spike.
Name.
Actually, pretty
Scott,
decent.
Scott Tipton from Comics 101 that we're linked to has written some of that Spikes and Angel stuff.
Oh, really?
After Angel,
who worked
I
for Kevin
really...
Smith? 6 degrees of dumb comic book shit.
After Angel, I couldn't really bear to watch any more of the spinoffs or any more of Buffy for that matter. It just, you know, after so many seasons, things just get kind of drawn out.
Well, I tried to watch Angel one time, and I saw that green guy in a turned channel.
How
that was it.
How hands-on is Joss Whedon with the writing of Buffy?
He writes it.
Like,
writes
the actual, it, yeah. Every episode, he wrote every single episode of Buffy?
Oh,
is what
oh,
I want to
oh,
know.
Oh, the television show.
Yes, yes.
As I recall, even if he isn't writing a particular episode, he maintains complete creative control.
Right.
Over what he does, and his love of creative control that way
yeah.
has put him at odds with studios left and right.
And I remember him mentioning that when he started doing the comic for season 8. Mm-hmm. How he said there's so much shit he wanted to do, but because there's TV and he couldn't get away with things, mm-hmm. now he can with season 8. It's comic books. You can do
right.
anything.
Well, and he's been, you know, Joss Whedon has been really dicked around by the studio system a few different times. It's like to get the last episodes of Buffy out, they had to change networks, right?
Oh, really?
Then, yeah.
What
Fox
did it start on?
I'm really surprised that
what
he's
Buffy
back with Fox. It started on Fox, then it went to
really?
UPN.
Right, and then they had
to Angel went to like two different networks.
Right, and then Fox also dicked him over hard
on
Firefly, which was pulling in good ratings.
Which is so surprising to me that he went right back to them for his new show. Was it the Dollhouse that Terry was telling us about?
Yes.
I mean, I guess you go where somebody wants and is going to pay you money. But they dicked him over so hardcore on Firefly. I'm surprised he didn't say, hey, fuck you.
Not only, you know, did the show get canceled, even though it was producing well, but it got canceled and they won't relinquish the freaking rights for it. So as he can't take it anywhere else, and he can only do what Fox will let him do with that.
And they also, they showed it out of order. I mean, that show completely messed. The first episode that they wanted to do, Fox didn't like it. And it was basically the introduction, origin story or whatever, so you knew who the characters were.
Right.
So they showed, like, the third episode first.
Right.
Which had more action beats in it, but you didn't know who the fuck anybody was.
Right, right.
So, you know, big surprise it doesn't pull in a whole lot to start off with.
And let's not leave out his bad run-in with the studios over the Wonder Woman stuff. He was actually tapped to direct the Wonder Woman movie.
See that...
He's going to be a writer-director.
But that, I mean...
Ink was dry. Deal was done. Yanked.
Part of that I'm not...
And how could that be bad? How could that be bad?
Wonder Woman?
Joss Whedon doing Wonder Woman.
I don't know what his treatment is. Because
Joss Whedon.
That doesn't matter. There's a couple of things that were floating around about that Wonder Woman project where, you know, somebody wanted it to be a prequel and go back to, you know,
a prequel to what?
Like World War II? Yeah, I mean, like World War II type times and somebody wanted it to be like a reimagining of the character. So there's a lot of stuff floating around and the bottom line of it is they just decided they wanted to stop having a slap fight. So they basically decide, all right, you go do whatever you want to do. I'm not going to do your Wonder Woman anymore. Well,
and what's great about all of that, Joss Whedon's pain is giving us things like Dr. Horrible that way. You know, that's something he fronted his money for and is still trying to pay people off for.
And I hope he continues doing stuff as independently as possible. I mean, you can listen to Terry's interview with us about his trip to San Diego Comic-Con on the show. And he's talking about going to the Dr. Horrible. He went to the Dr. Horrible panel, and he went to the Dollhouse panel, both of whom were, you know, 5,000 strong panels for people showing up for that stuff. I mean, he's got a hardcore following of people who will just love his shit.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he continues to try to be as independent with it as possible.
How many people do you think will actually pay for it, though? Do you think enough?
Honestly,
for Dr. Horrible?
I think if it comes out on DVD, it'll sell like...
It'll sell.
If it comes out on DVD, I bet a lot of people will have it because there'll be all sorts of features.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a lot of weed nights that'll go out and buy
it. There are a lot
shit.
Of people that are already paying a lot for the episodes. I mean, on the first day that thing was released to iTunes, it freaking crashed iTunes. iTunes!
It crashed their website, too. Like, their website, as soon as it got... Within, like, 5 minutes or something, it had, like, 12 million hits or something ridiculous.
So
I
don't want to create the impression that he's making a ton of money off of Dr. Horrible, but look, the demand is huge for it, and they've made a substantial amount of money, though perhaps not enough to cover all costs and get a new project off the ground.
Yeah, I went back and bought it day two, is when I just signed up for the season pass on iTunes.
But he's also... I think he's also really smart in who he works with.
Yeah.
Because instead of going off and getting somebody ridiculous, he gets his friends and people that will kind of do anything if it's fun.
Thankfully, he has really cool friends.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, Neil. Well, and apparently all it took to get him on board was a phone call. And he just called up and was like, look, I got a superhero musical. And NPH is like, I'll do it. He's like, no. See, because it's going to be, there's going to be singing, but it'll be kind of a tragedy thing. He's like, yeah, I said, I'll do it. He's like, yeah, but really, it'll be cool.
And then he called Nathan Fillion, and before he hung up, he was already at his house.
Right. Well, and Nathan Fillion.
So will it be sandwiches?
It's freaking hilarious. Felicia Day was a cast member on Buffy.
She's
like
adorable.
An alternate Slayer character on Buffy.
I was amazed at Nathan Fillion's acting ability because I saw him in Dr. Horrible and he's this cheesy douchebaggish.
Watch your mouth. I will slap you.
I first saw him, he was like this. No, he's your generic cheesy.
Your introduction to
hero.
Nathan Fillion is Dr. Horrible.
And then like I saw him on Serenity and Firefly. I'm like, shit, this guy is really, really good.
He is. He's really good.
Warner, that was the character.
Warner Brothers, that should be your Hal Jordan.
Oh, man, Nathan Fillion would be an awesome Hal Jordan.
Oh, that would work.
Let's do it.
I love me some Al Jordan.
You know what? I want to do a Diddy.
I
want to do
a kid to do
I
it.
I want to do a fan film about making a fan film. That was the idea I had today.
Nice.
Not your $1 million one though.
Oh, no, zing.
I was thinking more like $20 total cost.
I have a camcorder.
I was talking in forms of.
You saw my awesome
profits.
Video I put up. By the way, I posted a video of the walkthrough of Heroes Con. If anybody didn't check it out,
I saw it.
I'd recommend it.
It is very festive.
Think it's also fun. About it's the kind huge, of charismatic power you know, have to have do? as Joss Whedon does, where he is actually calling old producers of his up and giving them singing roles. I mean, what would that take? You know, the newscasters are both like writers for old show for or writers under him on Buffy and shit like that. I just wanted to start actually talking about Joss Whedon again. I don't have any that.
We were talking about Joss Whedon, weren't we?
Yes.
So the only thing he's really done for Marvel so far is the X-People and Runaways.
I thought about picking up Runaways, but the first volume wasn't at Heroes.
Let me say this about Joss Whedon's Runaways. The ending sucks balls.
Balls?
Balls.
Balls?
The ending was awful. It's the first few issues of Joss Whedon's Runaways. Sweet.
Awful as in just badly written or just like it's tragic?
Fucking stupid.
Oh, okay.
I heard that as well.
Yeah, it is. The last two issues and the wrap-up in general is just...
I just read the first two volumes, but that is not Whedon.
No, it's not. The other
that was BKV, right?
BKV, and it's awesome.
Yeah, the biggest problem...
Brian K. Vaughn, V. Keep up.
...that I had... The issues started getting further and further apart of when they were being released. The first few issues.
So you had to wait longer
yes,
for your ball
for
suckage?
Shitty books. Well, you,
I did what I have to wait a long time for my balls to get sucked.
But yeah. The first few issues came out on time. And then, like, the last three were months apart. Like,
kind of like Astonishing
months.
X-Men.
Yeah.
Where it was like a year and a half apart. Between
yeah.
the.
No, it's,
the, last
it's the same thing.
Hit.
It was exactly the same.
Oh, between, like,
for,
I think it was 18 and 19.
Yeah, except for Astonishing stayed strong pretty much the whole way. Well, the ending even to that, although tragic, was very, very, very good.
Are you and Devin still denying that?
Still crying.
She's not dead. Except she will
yeah,
starve.
She's not dead.
Eventually, I'm thinking. I mean, I realize the guy's got a lot going on, and most of what he writes is worth the wait.
Except for...
We need to get our timing a little better, I think.
You've been reading the Buffy.
I've been reading the Buff.
How is that compared to...
Buff's the stuff.
I don't want to know about the Buff Bagwell comic that you were writing.
Starring Buff Bagwell.
No, it's good, man. I mean, he uses the same... It's the same kind of thing, man. I mean, it's just like Astonishing. So, I mean, it's different characters, obviously. Different shit going on. There's vampires.
Instead of mutants, you got vampires.
But I just mean, like, the interaction between characters and everything like that. He just writes people really well. So, I mean, anything that he's doing like that, it's going to work.
So I've actually been kind of disappointed.
Especially on
in,
something that he started up, you know what I'm saying? I mean, those are his characters anyway.
Well, speaking of that, I've been kind of disappointed in the comic book stuff for the Firefly, Serenity.
Yeah.
People. I tried to read that Serenity, and of course I've never seen Firefly, and that issue one just didn't make any
there
sense.
There was a small series that he, I don't think he issues? Actually wrote.
Oh.
There was one that was like a prequel to Firefly, the Serenity movie. And I thought that one was pretty decent. I don't think he actually wrote that one. The one that he wrote is that three issue series.
The one that just came out.
Yeah, and I was really disappointed in that. But he's promising that his little production company is going to start churning out stuff from that universe.
For comics, right?
Yeah, like they're going to have a miniseries that's like books backstory and some other like mysteries that they never got to explore from the series.
Yeah.
Will be released, and I'm interested in all of it, but I really just didn't think the quality was that good. Well, but he gets all sorts of artists who will do covers and all kind of shit for him because they're fans of his verse as well.
Now, when I started up started back with the Buffy, I had to, like I say, Wikipedia seasons 3 through 7 to find out what the fuck just happened. And then, you know, I started reading it, but like it took me a minute to get back into it. I mean, I read the first trade basically because I bought it for a girl I work with.
That's what you keep saying.
Read it and then gave it to her. It took me a little bit to dredge through that first trade, but after I got done with that, it actually started picking up a little bit more and like just keeps getting progressively better. Brian K. Vaughn helped that out because he had a good he had a good run with, he brought Faith back into the mix.
That's one of the things I wanted to ask you is,
everybody
okay,
loves Faith.
The thing I was going to ask you is, okay, Astonishing was a whole bunch of issues by Joss Whedon.
Right.
Runaways was 25. Quite a few issues by Joss Whedon. How many issues was he? He was doing like 8 issues, and then somebody else would do 8 issues of Buffy.
I think he did like 5 or 6 for the first arc.
Yeah.
And then he might have done 2. I can't remember if it was 1 or 2 arcs. And then BKV came in and did his thing. And then Drew Goddard came in and did his thing. And now Whedon's back.
Do you think
Whedon's back and his stuff is stronger than it ever was?
I'm wondering, do you think it helped that there was a break in the Joss Whedon writing? He got to write basically a little mini series.
Yep.
And then, because with like Astonishing some of his other things, you know, it's just like there's a delay. They keep getting further apart.
I think it helped in a lot of the thing with Buffy and why it's pretty enjoyable was like he writes the characters just as you would be watching them, like on TV or whatever. Like, you can hear Allison Hannigan talking, like, whenever Willow's talking and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, their sense of humor
is...
One
time in band camp?
Not like that. More like How I Met Your Mother-ish, if you ever watched that show. But anyway.
Or the chick from Scooby-Doo.
I can't anymore, Devin. Thanks.
That's got your boy MPH on it.
I know, but it's on right now.
Let's just turn on the TV in the corner.
DVR, son, where you at? This is 2008.
I ain't got no fancy accoutrements like that.
Watch it online or something.
TV links.
Anyway.
He's got one of them old-timey picture boxes.
I think it also helped him.
I got to slap it twice to make it cut on in the mornings.
You got rabbit ears.
Wait a minute. I was talking about my TV set.
Joss Whedon. Anyway, I think that it helped him out to be able to watch how a couple other people handled the characters and everything, where they took the storyline, and then he was able to jump back into it and get right back into the swing of things. It was working really well. Dawn is turned into a fucking centaur, which is interesting.
A centaur?
What do you call a female centaur? Is it still a centaur?
A centet. A
centess. A centess?
A Cindy.
Cindy.
Hey, Cindy.
Are you a Cindy?
I want to say that I appreciate Joss Whedon and the characters that he writes. And I enjoy the strong women written by Joss Whedon.
Me too.
We are not a podcast of women haters.
Oh. No.
Just because we haven't watched Buffy does not mean we hate strong women characters.
No, I don't hate women. I just have to endure them like everybody else.
I think he does write strong women characters. I don't think that he sets out necessarily to do it. I think he just comes
naturally.
He
does, but I think it's because everything is so balanced. Like Trey said, everybody in reality has the capacity for any level of douchiness or excellentness, and he writes people that way.
I have a PhD in excellentness.
He writes them with a well-chosen persona.
I mean, like, even in Firefly, he's got an episode with the crazy whore, with the crazy space whore and the good space whore. Can you get more balanced than that?
Well, how about, and there's a great episode of Firefly that actually kind of illustrates the point, and that's when Janetown. Jane has actually...
$5 if you could sing the Janetown song.
Has actually betrayed his shipmates, and the captain has him in an airlock and is like, you're dead. I'm getting ready to blow you out of this airlock. You're done. I'm tired of your shit. And he winds up saying, he's like, all right, just don't tell the others what I did. Don't tell them what I did. It's like, yeah, he's a big asshole, but, you know, he's got something redeemable about him. It feels real. It feels like a real person. You know what I mean?
I mean, really, everybody on that show felt like a real person. Yeah. Everybody had layers to their character, and you don't get that with a lot of TV shows, period.
No. Well, and Whedon doesn't kind of punk out where if you get... I was comparing the captain on Firefly to Han Solo, and Han Solo is a lot more cheesily written. You know, he's a rogue, he's not a good guy, but he's got a heart of gold. You know, he's got a heart of gold. You just know he's going to ride in at the last minute and save the day.
I thought he just wanted to bang Princess Leia really bad.
That too.
That we didn't too. Say the reasoning behind it.
And
but that
on...
kind of negates the heart of gold, though. It's more like he's got a heart on of gold.
And the thing is, you know, watching Star Wars, golden heart of hearts, that Han Solo has a heart of gold and it's going to play out all right. And you don't know that watching Firefly with Joss Whedon's characters. There may be full episodes. There may be an hour-long stretch of the movie where the guy, you know, he's a dude. maybe not necessarily the biggest douchebag in the world, but certainly not far from it. And you don't know, as the reader, that things are just going to be all right. And he's just going to do, you know, the right thing, because that's what characters in these kind of movies always do.
Right.
He does do a really good job of showing, like, an inner darkness in people. You know what I'm saying? Even though...
That and making people not indestructible.
Yes.
Like, yep.
Oh my God, well, he killed Steve the
Joss
Pirate.
Whedon loves torturing his characters. Loves torturing them.
It hurt me too, just watching it.
Damn it, I didn't know that.
Think about that season of Buffy where... who is it? Angel is getting ready to be condemned to hell forever and ever, and at the last minute he winds up becoming good Angel again, and right at the moment when
she stabs his ass right through the heart.
Buffy has to stab him, and then he's like, Buffy, what's going on? I don't understand. And that's the moment that he gets sent to hell forever.
Yep.
It's like, oh my God.
Yeah. Even, that was the end of season two. See, that was good shit.
Send to hell forever or season four.
Spoiler alert, At the end of Dr. Horrible, Dr. Horrible hits fucking ton.
You mean the show that you think is a comedy until the last 3 minutes?
And in the last 3 minutes, he manages to throw this kidney punch at this character, where not only do his actions... Yeah, you need to leave the room, man. Where not only do his actions cause the death of the girl of his dreams, but her last words to him...
Captain
Hammer will save us. And Dre's like, oh my God, I'd become a supervillain after that.
What I love about that too is that it paints the hero as the dick immediately. No. Because you know how how it would be.
Yeah.
I mean, you know that if we actually had superheroes, there'd be more of them that were dicks like that than there would be ones that were really cool guys.
Well, and
like I said, it's did you just, anything moistened?
Anything moistened or made soggy?
Made soggy.
You know what I love about Joss Whedon? He really presents situations that make you think about what you would have done. What you would have done? Would you have? Which route you would have taken?
That's true.
And you kind of feel like a bad person after thinking about it for a little while. And also...
they did the right thing. I totally wouldn't have.
Oh, God, that's not the route I would have taken.
Like in Firefly when, what was it? The last episode, the bounty hunter, Jubal Early.
Yeah.
Of course, I've seen Serenity, but...
he threatens Kaylee with, you know, rape and all that jazz, and she ends up telling...
Sean. There's your rape reference for the show.
She ends up telling the bounty hunter where she sleeps, and you're like, I would have done that. I probably would have caved, and, like, if I were put in that situation and ratted out my own shipmates.
That was a really good episode. That was really... He played a really creepy character, but at the same... That show, being that it was their last show, basically, really makes you pissed off.
Yeah,
that was the last show of the series, because they had more places to go after that.
Well,
episode.
A ton more places to go, and apparently Fox is only going to let them do it via movie, and that sucks.
But even the movie didn't bridge all the gaps between the last episode.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Until Fox decides that they're willing to produce more episodes, we're just...
I don't think...
It seems she got caught in a carnival with HBO. They won't release the rights to that. Bastard.
Yeah, and it's not like there's not people looking for it. It's like Sci-Fi Network has gone after those rights. WGN, I think, WB, I think, went after it.
I think at this point it's kind of too late for Serenity to get resurrected again.
Yeah, I think
if the movie would have killed, then I think you would have seen some movement on it. But I think now you're just looking at comics.
Yeah,
I
think so.
Did anyone read the Dr. Horrible or Captain Hammer comics on MySpace?
I did.
I didn't.
It was all right. Yeah, it wasn't great. It was all right. It was definitely in the vein of the show. They don't give you anything that would affect show continuity or anything like that.
Yeah, it's basically just Captain Hammer's a dick.
Yeah.
Nice. Just
Captain Hammer douchebaggery, which is funny enough.
I already knew that anyway.
Hammer is my penis.
Hammer is my penis. The only signature they needed was my fist with a pen in it.
But Whedon is all about the MySpace comics. He actually won a Eisner this year for work on the intraweb comics. Probably,
deltoids of compassion. I'll just have the abs of being kind.
Everyone's a hero in their own way, Trey.
In their own not so heroic way.
Well, not like me, but
we started with Dr. Horrible.
Mm-hmm. I say we end it right here with some Dr. Horrible. But it's awesome. If you like the Whedon, the Joss.
I don't think it needs to be that. If you like funny then you should watch that episode. I mean, you can download it on iTunes for fairly inexpensive. You can go to their site and sit through a couple of web commercials
and stream it
straight through.
You can find it on a BitTorrent.
Please do one of those two things.
You can find it on Hulu.com, which is where I found it.
Steal it like some of you other bastards.
Not stealing it. I don't own it. It's just up there. I watch it. It's like stealing a television show. How do you do that? It's just out there.
Thank you. Good night.
Yeah, I was about to say, there's no wrapping that up. I'm out.